everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Thursday afternoon. My buddy Tom Fairbanks is on the other side of the glass, and the glass is not something that was just installed because of the pandemic. It's just the way it is here in our still relatively new studios. I think we're less than, maybe it's like a year and a half, but, you know, traditionally the way broadcast operations work, Tom Fairbanks, there's glass.
Yeah, we're not being insulated from the virus. We're insulating each other from sound.
No. However, I did work at a radio station once where there was no glass. That gets kind of interesting, too. But anyway, Tom, we're trying to bring people together here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Tom, I hate to be a complainer, but this weather is just really out of control. I really hate it.
You do know what's coming tomorrow and through the weekend.
I do. Excessive heat warning. And I was reflecting on this as I drove into our beautiful studios to the station today. You know, is this the new norm? Are we on the front lines of this climate change? Is this going to be, you know, it used to be 110 to 115 was really an anomaly in Tucson, Arizona. But right now, you look at the forecast, 110 every day, chance of rain like 10% maybe.
The National Weather Service just recently announced or told us that this is officially the hottest summer in Phoenix's recorded history.
In Phoenix?
In Phoenix.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised if Tucson's going to be not far behind there, and it's certainly one of the driest. And, you know, we always reflect, will this be the year where the monsoon didn't show up? Well, so far it is. Anyway, let's go on the live line now to the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez, District 2 Democrat. Ramon, how are you today?
I'm spectacular, Bill. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was just looking up your bio, kind of refreshing myself on the career that you've had in public service. 4 years in the Arizona State Legislature, 2 years in the State Senate. You left the State Senate to be an aide to Governor Napolitano, then elected to the Board of Supervisors in 2004. You were appointed to the board right in 2003, is that correct?
That's correct. I also served with a U.S. Senator and a U.S. Congressman before going to the legislature.
I mean, pretty spectacular long-running career in public service. And now this election, you were upset by Dr. Matt Hines in the primary. You've had about 10 days now to digest this. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, you know, they haven't changed from the night of the election. I told we were having a virtual campaign watch party, and I told our supporters, I said, "Look, guys," I said, "we can believe in a democracy, but we have to believe even more when we lose, not just when we win." I said, "And I do. The voters have spoken. They wanted different leadership. That's okay. That's always got to be okay. I've had 24 fantastic years as an elected official and about 11 years in government before that. I've had a great ride. Now it's time for new challenges."
Well, had you ever lost an election?
No.
not even in grade school when it was like Ramon for school president or?
Well, not in grade school. I did lose one as student body president at the University of Arizona when I was a student there, but I deserved to lose that one.
I did win one back in elementary school, and it was kind of clever. I became the class president, and we were, don't pass the buck, vote for Buck. And it seemed to be very successful because it worked for me. So, but that was my only run for politics.
Well, glad it was a positive experience too.
Yeah. So, what do you think happened? Do you think it helped Dr. Hines being a doctor in a pandemic like this? And he got tremendous publicity. All the national shows called on him during the pandemic, and he had name recognition going into this. Did that help?
You know, I'm sure it did, Bill. I have not spent a lot of time dwelling on it and don't plan on it. Ultimately, voters wanted something different, and that's okay. I'm focusing on what we're doing right now in terms of fighting this pandemic. I'm focusing on making sure that Dr. Hines and the other three new colleagues that are going to be, or two new colleagues besides himself, that are going to be here are going to have the tools to be successful. And like I told somebody last week, I said, look, I'm a constituent now, just like everybody else. Come January, I need to make sure that they succeed. So right now we're working on putting together the tools that they need in order to be successful.
Have you?
So those are the things that are my focus.
Did you talk to Matt?
I gave him a call. He wasn't able to answer the phone call. His voicemail was full, so I texted him, and he and I have been communicating via text.
Well, I don't want to dwell on this, but this is my first chat with you since the election, and I really did think it was a political stunner. But how would you like to be remembered for all these years in public service? And that leads me to the next question. Is there some more public service in your career, Ramon Valadez?
You know, I'd like to be remembered as someone who stepped up when we needed to step up, who made the decision to lead our community, who cared about our community and loved the people that I served. And that's it. Someone who just stepped up and did the job and did it for people he loved.
You know, you've always been a real positive thinker. You've posted some very positive things on Facebook. Does that help you during this kind of transition period in your life?
It always has. Obviously, I read a lot, and it's all self-development, and I try to stick a lot of positive in there. And by no means does that mean you're a positive Pollyanna, but certainly helps you through a lot of challenges. Obviously, this year, we've seen unprecedented differences in how we've had to govern, how we've had to run an election. The truth is, it all contributes to who I am and how I deal with things, and it absolutely helps.
Let's talk about the pandemic. Are we making progress? I think some of the areas are still in the red zone. Some are in the yellow. Give us the overall update.
Absolutely. Part of obviously with the testing that we have going on, not only the mobile testing, but the testing over at the Keno Event Center, Udall Park, and LA Town Center has contributed a great deal to at least it getting results within a reasonable amount of time. Obviously, some of the labs right now are so slammed with the tests that they can't get through them. Our purveyor over at Keno typically does 24 to 48 hours, typically. There's been a couple of hiccups, but not many. And so they've been able to meet that need. And I know a number of people who've been able to go there and get tested in a very expeditious manner. Because some of the tests are not coming back for 7, 14, or more days sometimes. At that point, it's just very, very difficult. Now, are we making progress? Obviously, as most of us know, we did put into place a face mask wearing ordinance that does in the health code, so it does cover all of Pima County, including the incorporated areas. And we, since that time, we had a report on the effects last week or the week before. There does seem to be a steady decrease because we were seeing numbers, and here's the important number, okay? How many of the tests that are being done are coming back positive by percentage? Okay, because mm-hmm. if you try and go by round numbers, we increase the number of tests, so obviously the numbers are going to increase too. So it's got to be a percentage, just so it's you're comparing apples to apples. We were seeing positive test rates in the teens during the peak of the whole July and part of June. What we're seeing now is the last 3 weeks have been 8%, 7%, and 7% respectively. What you want to see is well below 5%. The threshold is 5%, but you want to see it below 5%, according to our public health staff, including Dr. Garcia and Dr. Collin. So we are headed at least in the correct direction at this point, as opposed to the other direction where we were headed before. So, yes, we are making progress. Are we there yet? Not yet. But we are making a lot of progress. Obviously, the contact tracers are in place and at full staff at this point. So we are doing contact tracing. We just modified some of the notification through Paradigm, which is the purveyor of the tests over at the Keno Event Center. So it's an automatic notification. I think we're looking at doing it electronically so that we don't have to worry about trying to get a hold of people and not having them answer our phone calls to tell them the results of the tests. So we're trying to make it as time and cost effective as possible.
And this, what's called the R-naught, the rate of spread, basically is the lowest in the United States right now in Arizona. That's good.
Well, Bill, I will tell you that the first time I ever heard that factor was at a governor's press conference. I had never heard it before. I frankly don't know what it means. It's as far as I know, it was a factor that was made up in order to look better than we were. Because frankly, at that point, we were peaking, and we were number one or two between Florida and Arizona in the world, according to Harvard University, which tends to be a reliable source for me. And so I don't go by the R-naught factor.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Roberta is on the live line. Roberta, well, I'm going to take Roberta real quickly so she doesn't have to hold through the break. Roberta, what's on your mind? What would you like to speak with Supervisor Valadez about?
Well, I used to listen to you on the Jennifer English show, and I've always admired your positive attitude. I'd like to hear you do a show on KVOI on positive thinking, and I think you could inspire a lot of people who really need it at this time.
Yeah, there's an idea for you, Ramon, and there I understand we might have a vacancy on the weekend at least for you.
All right, well, thank you. I'll definitely think about it, and you know what? I'm just touched that we were able to help you and others.
All right, we'll take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News and Talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with Ramon Valadez.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this hot Thursday afternoon in August in Tucson. Ramon Valadez with us, Democrat District Number 2, and the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Now, what about school, Ramon Valadez? We learned today a story in the Star that up to 3,000 to 4,000 of the TUSD students, they've really been unable to even contact them. This is troubling when you've got that many students who we really don't have any idea what their path to learning is going to be in this environment.
Right. We're going to be seeing something different. Obviously, our involvement isn't as direct on this as some of the other entities, simply because obviously that's through the state, through the Arizona Department of Education. Obviously, we've had some conversations through our superintendent of public instruction, that being Dustin Williams. And certainly we had a back-to-school task force meeting, I believe Monday of this week with the superintendent, so that there could be a broader discussion. Part of the issue certainly is that until such a time as certain criteria are met, obviously there's higher risk than necessary. Part of what we're seeing in terms of what Dustin was telling, or Superintendent Williams was saying, was that he's gotten a number of requests for homeschooling certifications as well. So I think obviously the parents are concerned. They need to be concerned and just make sure that the schools are doing what they need to do at the time that they can do it safely as well. I think it's probably the best advice we can give them right now. They are in consultation, obviously, with Dr. Garcia and Dr. Cullen and the health department. And right now it's I don't know that much other than what was done through the governor's order is in effect. But you need to read the governor's order particularly carefully to see what he actually meant through some of those documents.
But Pima County plays a huge role in this because the health director, Dr. Garcia, did recommend that schools not have face-to-face learning. So this is really a big deal. Pima County does have a lot of responsibility here.
That's true, and that would be a fully open educational environment. However, as I had a conversation last night with Superintendent Williams, one of the things he told me about the order, and I haven't had a chance to read it this morning yet, was that it does require school districts to have a place for students that are dropped off by parents who don't have any other daycare or care available to them.
So they would have a place to go?
And that's how I understand it from our discussions, again, with Superintendent Williams. So that's part of the issue, is you can recommend that the environment not be the full educational environment, but then apparently the order, according to Superintendent Williams, does require schools to have a place for parents to drop off their kids.
How are we doing financially in Pima County through all of this?
You know, at this point, we're still doing okay. Obviously, we have budgeted the entire amount that we received through the CARES money, as well as the reimbursement, particularly for the COVID-19 related leave. So we're still okay. Obviously, if you think about the cost of the tests, including the results, the laboratory work, is about $155 per test. So you think about it from that perspective, it adds up fairly quickly. And while we're okay now, I know that that we're going to be asked to see what we can do to shore up the county public health budget fairly soon. And we're certainly going to need to look at trying to get our federal delegation to pass something by way of an additional relief money act.
And most of your employees are going to work at the county building, and there is a robust program. The temperatures are taken on a daily basis, so most of your people are at work.
Correct. And even throughout most of the pandemic, the majority of the workforce was either coming in or had to come in because their jobs were not, they couldn't do their jobs through telecommute. But yes, we do the wellness check on a daily basis, which is the temperature check. And then obviously you get a sticker, basically changes color every day. And then obviously some criteria if somebody shows up with a fever. We're about to adopt on Monday provisions for formal provisions by as a board policy for requirements for visitors during this wellness check time as well. So obviously, for example, if someone comes in and they're testing, I believe the number may be 101. I don't hold me to that, but there's a threshold. If it temperature exceeds a certain temperature, they are then required given a sheet that tells them what they're supposed to do, and they need to leave. They can call their supervisor, let them know what's happened, and then obviously what they need to be doing in order to maintain public safety in our environment here at Pima County.
I believe it's 100.4 is the threshold there for the temperature.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
Now, you said that the positive rate is now about 7%. That's really good news. If it goes below the optimum level, below 5, and I'm just wondering if we get to that area, and I certainly hope we do very soon, will you take a second look at some of the provisions, restrictions that are in place?
You know, we'll certainly take a look at what we believe we can do in terms of loosening it up. If you recall, when we did the stay-at-home order through the governor, that rate was between 3 and 4%, so it was substantially lower. We'll certainly take a look. We have to be careful because, obviously, just because we're doing better doesn't mean the virus is gone. So certainly take a look at it. It is a condition that is certainly dynamic, not static. So we look at it. We talk with our public health officials on a very regular basis and make sure that we're making the decisions based on where we are today to make sure that we ensure public health in our community.
How about our road program? Has that progressed through all of this? Is work being done on our roads?
I can tell you in terms of the budgeting, what we did, obviously, because of what we're going through, we weren't able to fund the PAYGO program the way we intended to do it. However, we did create a manner in which, through certificates of participation, to fund the road program, which, as you recall, was that we were going to work on every unincorporated local road in Pima County, so the neighborhood roads.
Getting back to your future, are you exploring some opportunities that you could share with us right now?
You know, all I'll share right now is that, yes, I'm exploring some entrepreneurship opportunities. I'm exploring some consulting opportunities and certainly open to discussions as we move along.
Well, how old were you when you first decided to get into politics?
Trick question. About 17 years of age. I was talking to somebody the other day. And they said, I told them, yeah, I've been elected for 24 years. And then, oh, 24 years, you started when you were very, very young. I said, well, I've been in politics about 36 years.
At 17, you were interning for someone, is that correct?
Correct.
And who was that?
It was my predecessor on the board, Supervisor Dan Ekstrom.
He's been kind of a mentor for you, hasn't
he? Yes,
Dan?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
What advice?
Wonderful man.
And what advice did Dan give you after the election?
You know, we had more of a really heart to heart. I mean, if you think about it, he had when he left office, he went through a lot of the same emotions and feelings. And I told him, I said, look, what I want to do is I want to be the example of how you leave office with class and dignity and in service.
All right. Ramon Valdez, wish you the best, and we'll speak again very soon, I'm sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Ramon Valdez, Pima County Board of Supervisors Chairman. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, we are so proud to have a couple of dozen contributors who appear here. Some of them appear every week. Some appear every month. Some maybe every quarter, but all in all, we have a great team, including Dr. Jeff Silvertooth, who will be with us after the break. Jeff is our agriculture contributor, and I want to talk to him about the future of the University of Arizona Campus Agriculture Center, commonly referred to as the farm, a place I love to go by. I love to look at the sheep and the horses, and I hope it doesn't go away. But we'll talk to Jeff after we take our break. CBS Network News, 1 minute headlines, then the Buckmaster Show sponsors. They're the people who keep us on the air, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart for making this show possible for almost 10 full years. Back right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I was thinking about Green Things this morning as I went out to do now my twice-a-day watering regimen. Normally, it's in the afternoon, but now with this in extraordinary conditions, I was thinking, I'm going to have to ask Jan and Jack, what plant would thrive in this kind of weather, like 110 and above? Is there something that would do pretty well and not get just scorched, the leaves burning through the day? So I got to have to ask Jan about that. 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo. Here are a couple of websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo Village for all that great merchandise. I'm just so honored to have people like Jeff Silvertooth on board on the Buckmaster Show. He's one of two dozen regular contributors. And when I say regular, some of our contributors come on once a week, a month, or like every other month. Professor Silvertooth has been with the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Sciences since 1987. He's currently the Associate Dean and Director for Extension and Economic Development, where he provides overall leadership and administrative and personnel management for the Arizona Cooperative Extension. He also serves as the Associate Director for the Arizona Experimental Station. Jeff, how are you?
I'm very good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. I bet you're just so sick of all the meetings that you're having to do on the Zoom and everything else, because I know you, and you're a kindred spirit like me. You're a people person, and now you're having to do everything telephonically, Zooming. Aren't you about, like, up to here with it?
Well, I have to confess, Bill, I've had my fill of it, but it's still going on for us, and we'll probably have to deal with it for a little while yet. The ironic thing is, you know, we're still dealing with people probably, you know, almost incessantly, but it's always remotely through electronic medium. Usually a little bit more face to face these days, but yeah, it's been quite a challenge. I will admit, I confess.
Jeff, as you know, in 1885, the University of Arizona was established as a land-grant institution, a first for Arizona. Later legislation expanded the mandates of the original Morrell Act of 1862 that became applicable for the College of Agriculture to champion research, teaching, and extension. So what I'm getting at with you, Jeff, is that agriculture and mechanical arts were the kind of the foundations of the Morrell Act, which established land grant institutions like the U of A. So I'm wondering, how does that jive with possibly the university selling off the Campus Agriculture Center, commonly referred to as the U of A Farm on Campbell Avenue?
Well, first of all, that's a good question. And I'd have to say, first of all, that in relation to that original Morrell Act of 1862 that formed these land grant institutions, agriculture, mechanical arts, which, you know, really is engineering. So agriculture and engineering were the cornerstones of these land grant institutions. If you look, actually, we look back to the 19th century, we had a very young nation, and it was very agrarian, and it was developing in early stages of development. And what the nation needed first and foremost, really, at that time, with these public institutions, was increased capacity in agricultural science, because that's how most Americans were making a living, And we needed to build an infrastructure. You know, we needed to build roads, bridges, railroads, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a real need for high demand for engineering expertise back then. That really hasn't changed except that we've expanded our society. We've expanded our capacities as a nation, and the universities have had to expand capacity to meet those needs. Now, in relation to the agricultural farm, what we call the Campus Ag Center up here on Campbell Avenue in Tucson, Arizona, or actually what we would do with any of our land holdings like that, really what is happening there, Bill, is a demonstration of the changes of our university in relation to changes in our society. So look at Arizona. It's a pretty wide open state, but essentially it's an urban state. What do we have, like 7.2 million people in the state? And close to 5 million are in Phoenix, a little over a million in Tucson in the valley. And then you have the Central Arizona Corridor. You know, you have most of the people in the state, a high percentage of them living in the Central Arizona between Tucson and Phoenix. And then you have Yuma, Flagstaff, Prescott, and pretty much this open state. But the population is urban. And so that puts the demands on our universities to make these shifts in response to what are our universities doing to respond to the needs of the people. And Campus Ag Center is probably a good example of that. And also, too, just, you know, the way things change at the university and where pressures are with regard to finances.
What goes on over at the Ag Center? What is their footprint? What is their mission, Jeff Silvertooth?
At the Ag Center here in Tucson, well, really, our Ag Centers are our field laboratories for us out around the state. And we have them in Yuma, Maricopa, the Maricopa Ag Center. We have a station in Safford. We have the Santa Rita Range south of Tucson, experimental range that is tied in with the USDA. Then we have a big ranch, what we call the V-Bar V. Then we have the Campus Ag Center, Red Rock, and a few other facilities right around this area. What you're speaking to, Bill, I think, is the Campus Ag Center. Its main function here is a little different than the others, that it services also the population on campus with regard to our students and primarily the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And there are a lot of projects out there on the farm that have to do with animal science projects with students teaching there. We have greenhouse facilities. There's a lot of students that are out working there. We have the 4-H, and excuse me, the Cooperative Extension Office is on that same property on the east side of Campbell. So the real mission here is to do two things, is to do applied research that helps support our extension education programs, and also to help really facilitate the field laboratory component with a lot of our classwork on campus with the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences.
This is an 80-acre home base. I understand that it cost originally $2,150. Yeah. $2,150 for 80 acres in Midtown Tucson. There you go, 1909. Who knows what the land is worth now, but I'm probably a substantial amount larger than that original amount. But I personally do not want to see it go away. I love driving by it. Maybe it's just a way to kind of you reflect. You see sometimes they have the horses out there and sometimes they have the sheep. And it's kind of just a little meditation area when I go by that area. But I understand the U of A is in some real hard times. Do you think this is a serious consideration? Or I don't know how much you can say about it. Is this serious about perhaps putting it up for sale?
Well, I think they're always serious about considering it. I will say this, and I'm not really directly party to the conversations and the negotiations going on with the selling of the land. I usually just get told several steps down the line, you know, where I am in the org chart of the university. But, you know, this actually has been discussed. You mentioned at the beginning, I've been here since 1987, and I don't remember how many times there's been discussions that they're going to sell the Campus Ag Center, the university is. And it makes, I don't mean to sound cynical about it, Bill, but, you know, I look at these things, I guess I'll believe it when I see it. I do know the university is in some real financial straits right now. It's really serious. And if there's anything to stimulate their interest in making a real move on it, would be now. But this has happened quite a few times where we've all been almost mobilized to say, get ready to clean out your facilities. And a lot of us in the college have facilities like shop and operational facilities out there. And then it doesn't come to pass. So I don't know. I honestly don't know, Bill, in answer to your question. I'd tell you if I did, but I'm really not party to those conversations, but I'm watching to see. But things are tough at the university right now financially.
But don't you like to go out there yourself?
Oh, yeah, I love it. And actually, it serves as that little oasis of open space. Although working on the other experiment stations, as an agronomist and soil scientist working all over the state out in the field, I go there and sometimes, well, this is a kind of a unique facility. But, you know, it does a lot of, you know, what I see out there a lot is a lot of folks in the neighborhoods walking around looking at the horses, looking at the animals, just walking around and walking around the open spaces there. And I think that does serve the community well. But, you know, the university probably doesn't look at that as a financial attribute, but it is a nice part of the community, and I do like it as well. You're absolutely.
All right, Jeff, stick around. We've got another segment with you. We're going to take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be back with Jeff Silvertooth. If you have any questions for Jeff, he'd be happy to take those questions. Our live line number is 790-2040, 790-2040. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start thinking about cooler places to go. Visit Silver City. So you can start your planning by going to southwestnewmexico.org. So when New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors, you'll be all set to pile in the car and take the 3-hour drive to Tucson. On the website, you'll find out about the many things to do and some great places to stay. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the Live Line, we have Professor Jeff Silvertooth, our Buckmaster Show contributor on agriculture. He is with the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, where he is the Associate Dean and Director of Extension and Economic Development. Susie has called us, and she would like to ask a question of Dr. Silvertooth. Go ahead, Susie.
Yes, thank you for giving us all that information, Mr. Silvertooth. I would like to see it left, like you kind of mentioned that it's open spaces. I think Bill did and both of you did. I almost kind of perceive it as not only just open spaces, but sort of like a park that we don't have to water, or, I mean, yeah. University does. But, I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, those are getting... I mean, we have a lot of parks, and that's great, but you can't have too many. And, you know, they're already developing land around here that, you know, they've got places to develop land. And I get that it's a pricey piece of property. I also get that they can't use alumni money, is that correct, to help with the bills now? I heard that somewhere, saw it on TV.
Jeff?
Yes, thank you for your question, Susie. What was your last part? They can't use what money?
I was just wondering, I've heard that they can't use any alumni money to pay any of their debt. Is that correct, or are you familiar with that?
Well, the alumni, there's a foundation with the alumni. That's a separate foundation.
But they can't use it. They can't borrow from it, from what I understand.
Maybe I can.
They could help with the debt.
Maybe I can help jump in here. I think, Susie, you're referring to the $1 billion, with a B, dollar endowment that the University of Arizona has. And from what I understand, that money cannot be used right now in these hard times because that money is earmarked for other things.
Right.
Is that also your understanding, Jeff?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, and I heard it probably on your show then, Bill, or you're sure up to date on it. But I get that they need to get money, and it's a shame someone can't come along like the Diamonds or Jim Quick or somebody, but
right.
I just don't know. But I sure hate to lose that open space. That's all I'm going to say.
You have a lot of, support in that regard, Susie, at least from me. And I know there are a lot of people in the community love that area. Jeff, I know these are hard times for the universities, so I do want to do a little promo for tomorrow. Dr. Larry Penley, he's the chairman of the Arizona Board of Regents. He will be my Friday Focus interview tomorrow, so we'll be able to hear from Dr. Penley just what is the situation with the universities. And these are hard times, correct, Jeff?
Yes, they are, and I appreciate you making that time available with your guest tomorrow with the chairman of Board of Regents. And Susie, that'd be a good place to, you know, offer your comments and suggestions there as well to the chairman of the Board of Regents. Also, too, I would encourage you and any of the other listeners who have this interest is to communicate these concerns to the university directly. I know we have an abundance of websites and links where you can respond to anonymously. I know they read them. I know they respond because sometimes they come into the president's office, these comments from the community, and they're relevant to my area of operation. And they get sent over to me with a need for quick response. So I know they do read and they do respond and they do listen. So this is a public institution, and your opinions and your thoughts are valid, and I would encourage you to exercise that. I also will do what I can to communicate your thoughts. I've heard it from a lot of other people as well, and you, as Bill said, you are not alone in those sentiments, and I can appreciate that completely with what you heard my comments earlier. So I can, a guy who works in agriculture, works out on the state, I appreciate open spaces as well. But to get your thoughts and comments communicated effectively, I would encourage you to do that. And if you need any help, communicate to Bill or I, and we can help you find those spots where you can communicate your message.
All right.
To the university.
Thank you, Susie, for calling the program. My ace producer engineer, Tom Fairbanks, brought up a very good point during the break about the drought situation, these unprecedented temperatures, and how that is going to affect water usage and agriculture in this state. Would you like to address that, Jeff?
Absolutely. You know, this is good. I heard your lead in on this with the comments earlier today about the weather and having to water your garden, water your plants twice a day now.
Yep.
Yeah, so for those of us that have been out here in Arizona for a while, what we've realized lately is that we've often been thinking this summer, my gosh, it's hot. It sure seems hotter than usual to me. Maybe it's just me this year. Well, it's not just us. It has been hotter than usual. I think we've had the record-setting temperatures for the month of July for the past 3 months, and you know that's on top of record after another. So it impacts our crops as well. And so really, water loss in plants, if you look at plants, they're like basically a straw that connects the soil water reservoir to the atmosphere. And the driving force in the atmosphere is with the humidity and temperature. And so plants can, a lot of, well, you were asking about well-adapted plants to your folks at the nursery, Bill.
Yes.
They're going to show you that a lot of our plants are very well-adapted, but they just need more water to survive because the water demand has gone up. As that atmosphere is really dry with this high pressure conditions we've had on top of the exceedingly high temperatures, it just really drives up the water demand of any biological organism, including us, but the plants sure see it as well. And they have to make up for that. So they have the same amount of individual plant demand, but that atmosphere is just pulling it right through them, just literally sucking it through them out of the soil into the atmosphere. So yeah, your water demands definitely go up under these types of conditions. Although I will say too, if you person can keep up with water demands on these plants that are well adapted, these warm season plants, they do very well. And we've seen that too happening both agriculturally and horticulturally around the area. But the water demand is definitely up.
I've been using a device that gives more of a, rather than a direct hose, it gives more of a misting type effect. And that the plants seem to really like that as well, Jeff.
Yeah, that cools the plant. And that's a lot of what the reason the water is what we call transpiring through the plant. That's a transpirational process when the plant releases that water water vapor out of the pores on the surface of the plant. And that's the plant is basically cooling itself like an evaporative water cooler. And so when you put the misting on there, you're helping the plant do that. You're helping the plant cool itself because it can't otherwise control regulated temperatures like you and I can. They're subject to the environment. And the only way they can cool themselves is through that transpiration of water through their plant tissues. So that misting helps with that, although you also need to provide that adequate moisture through the soil because it's the root system that actually picks water up, not the leaves. I mean, leaves will get cool, but they can't really take water in. The root system is where the plant actually acquires water for its own physiological needs.
All right, Jeff, we're going to let you go. We'll have you on hopefully in a month or so to give us an update, and hopefully we'll get out of this horrible, horrible heat wave and get back to somewhat seasonal temperatures because, Jeff, as you know, our highs are running 10 to 15 degrees above normal, and that's not good in the summertime.
I agree. I feel it every day too, Bill.
Yep.
So I'm with you. But hopefully, you know what'll happen in a few months. We'll be here talking. We'll probably be concerned about how cold it is.
I know.
You never know.
All right, Jeff. It's always a pleasure, and hopefully, we'll see you in studio very soon. Thank you. Stay safe.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You too, Bill.
All right. Jeff Silvertooth, always a pleasure having him on our program, talking about agriculture and today specifically about the UA farm. And Jeff brings up a good point. If you're concerned about it and you don't want to see the U of A sell it, send an email to the University of Arizona. You can send it to Jeff Silvertooth at the College of Agriculture, and Jeff will make sure it gets to the right people. So, folks do listen to these things, and so hopefully we can keep the UA farm. That's going to do it. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, my fine engineer producer, always with a smile on his face, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's next with his popular show on money. Have a great afternoon.